I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The UK government are under fire for failing to protect care homes from the spread of the coronavirus. UK care homes have seen more than 14,000 coronavirus-related deaths so far, and that is a quarter of the UK's total mortality in just a tiny fraction of the population. These figures echo a similar situation across European countries, and many believe that care homes have been overlooked, in some cases with disastrous consequences. Julienne Mayer is a nurse and also Emeritus Professor at City University of London and an advisor to the National Care Forum. Can you put some additional meat on these bones for us, please, Julienne? What proportion of our care home community in the UK have lost their lives? What proportion have been affected by this?
The first thing to say is that the Care Quality Commission did a recent report of 36% of care homes having been affected by COVID-19. And in terms of deaths in England, there are 3.6% of the residents have died in care homes. But also of interest is care workers being twice as likely to die from COVID as the general working age population. To date, 235 health and social care workers have died, though it's not clear which of those have been from care homes.
And just to be clear, Julienne, we know that people who are older and are in care homes do have a higher likelihood of death at any one moment in time, just by virtue of the fact that older people are more likely to die than young children. But these numbers we're seeing are above and beyond what you would expect, the so-called expected mortality for this particular group of people.
Absolutely. I think when you look at frail older people in care homes, 80% of them have some form of cognitive impairment, dementia. And so things like social isolation and social distancing is really very difficult, compounded by the fact that hospitals were discharging patients into care homes without knowing that they were COVID-free. So there was transmission from hospital into care homes. And then, of course, you've got the staff coming and going and the use of agency when there wasn't enough staff because they themselves were self-isolating, and also issues around personal protective equipment.
These don't sound like unanticipatable problems, though. They sound like the kind of thing that, the way you've put them across, we could have anticipated that if there was an outbreak of something, the flu, for instance, that this could be a challenge. So why has it taken till now for us to recognise and highlight these constraints, and why weren't they dealt with sooner?
Well, I think the first thing to say is that there was no plan for an epidemic. This is more like Ebola than it is flu. And the government ignored care homes for far too long. It was only on the 15th of May that a specific care home support package was announced. Prior to that, they had really been ignored. What COVID has really thrown into sharp relief is the crisis in social care funding that existed before it, from government to local authorities, to people working in health.
Although we are not the only country that's seeing these devastating numbers, are we? Other countries across Europe are also seeing the same sorts of things. So are we all guilty of the same problems, or are there a range of factors that have led to it? And you've described the ones here, but other things are happening in other countries. Which is it?
I mean, the interesting one for me is Hong Kong, where they've not had a single care home resident die from COVID. They had a pandemic plan for this type of virus following SARS. They learnt a lot and they were well prepared. And face masks are just part of normal life in Hong Kong.
Interesting you should say that, because I was taking part in a radio programme just yesterday and a lady rang our programme. She's shielding because she is in a risk category. And she said that the young lady who comes in to help her and cares for her had confided to her that over the long weekend she was going to go and see her partner on the other side of the country. And the lady had come to us to say, what do you think I should do about this? Because obviously that's not in line with the guidance. And does that place me as the person being cared for at risk? So to what extent is this also an educational problem where carers just don't necessarily realise how they need to behave in order to minimise the spread into very vulnerable groups?
I think you're absolutely right. The main problem with it is that you have asymptomatic carriers. So actually, the test and track and trace is really important here.
So you think that basically we need a screening process. If you're working in care homes or in hospitals, any kind of care setting, really, you need regular screening. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. But the testing hasn't yet become a reality on the front line. We've been promised 30,000 tests per day, but actually that will take till June to cover the 15,000 care homes across the UK. And we probably need more in the region of 200,000 per day if we're to do routine weekly testing.
Some way to go, isn't there? Julianne, thank you very much for bringing it into Stark Relief for us. That's Julianne Mayer. She is advisor to the National Care Forum.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.